I'm trying to set up the screen. Can you guys see the screen?
Yeah, we can see you.
Oh, you can see me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, go ahead and say hello.
Hey, hey, hi, everybody. It's great to meet everybody. To meet you all on Zoom. I'm looking forward to the day we shall all meet together in person. And thank you so much for all the warm welcome, all the phone calls, the texts, the emails. Please pray for us as we settle in. I'm looking forward to see all that God will do to his glory. And thank you. Thank you all so much. It's great to meet you all, and God bless.
Awesome. Again, Sarah and I are excited to be in Brooklyn, although we're not there physically yet. God willing, we're going to get to New York next weekend. Again, like Sarah just said, thank you so much for all your prayers. Thank you so much for all your support. And we got some great news. We found a place in Park Slope that we're able to make the payment for today. And so we're going to be moving in, I believe, November 2nd, which is a Monday. But pray for us. We're going to try and get the movers to bring our stuff up to New York, and we're going to move in November 2nd. We're going to need to quarantine for 2 weeks. We've been told by the city of New York when we arrive. And so we're going to use that time to unpack. And I'm sure we'll get a chance to head out and maybe just step to the, you know, to the staircase and, you know, say hello to people. But we have to quarantine by law when we arrive in New York City. I especially want to say a big thank you to Mike Facey to get us started tonight. Mike has been busy at work showing us different apartments via FaceTime. And brother, we are indebted to you. We're so thankful. He found us this place. As a matter of fact, the apartment hadn't hit the market yet, but he knew this broker who mentioned it to him. And to cut a long story short, that's how we got the place. So I'm very, very thankful. You've been awesome. And I also want to say thank you to Natasha. She also sent a list of places that I forwarded to Mike that he was able to also look at and explore. And so I'm very grateful to Michael and to Natasha and for all of you, for all your prayers. And we can't wait to get to Brooklyn physically. We're really looking forward to that. I hope you've been enjoying the series that we've been doing as a church every Sunday, the series God Is, because you and I, we serve a wonderful God. And tonight, I've titled my lesson, Knowing God Better. Knowing God Better. Before we start off, let me say a quick prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for tonight. We thank you, Father, for life. We thank you, Father, for our families. We thank you, Father, for our children. We thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters that are single. We thank you, Father, for those in the marriage ministry. We thank you, Father, for our teenagers. I pray, God, that all of us can get to know you better. Father, we look forward to the day when we get to be with you in eternity. Father, thank you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you, Father, for your protection. Bless us now as we look into your word. We ask and we pray all this in the mighty and precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to start off in Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 12, it reads, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand?" Talking about God, obviously. "Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No. For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forests and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Let's jump down to verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up at the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. I wanted to start off with this passage because it's one of those passages that just talks about the incredible God you and I call Father. It tells us that God didn't seek advice from anybody when he was creating this world. You know, think about that for a second, where most of us, because we don't know everything, we always usually have to go ask somebody else for instruction or for advice. God did not have to do that. As a matter of fact, he's never done that, where nobody gives him advice. Nobody tells him how to do anything. He's that powerful, because we're talking about the all-knowing God. See, as we continue in this lesson tonight, I want us to ask ourselves, individually as Christians, that God has saved and brought into his church and brought into his kingdom. How well do you know this God called Yahweh? How well do you know this creator that spoke this world simply into existence? In verse 18, it says, to whom will you compare God? There is no one we can compare God to. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, how do you begin to describe someone that has always existed? How do you begin to describe someone that knows everything, that fills the entire universe? How do you begin to describe a being that is the highest authority in the entire universe? This is the God that you and I call Father. This is the God that you and I serve. We have no other God that we serve. And to me, it's very comforting to know that we're serving, quote unquote, the real deal, the real person. We're not serving an idol. We're talking about the real God, the real creator. In verse 25, it talks about how God has no equal. Every time you and I pray, this is the God that we're talking to. Every time you and I come to church, every time you and I attend on Sunday, when we used to do that before COVID-19 physically, this is the God that we're coming into his presence. And when you see the picture of heaven and the throne room that is created and painted in the book of Revelation, you see all the beings bowing down in reverence. This is the God that you and I have a privilege to approach every single day in prayer. And so again, I'm asking us, as we're listening tonight, how well do you know this God? If you were asked to describe him, how would you describe him? I wrote down some few things, and I encourage you to do the same, whether later on tonight or tomorrow morning when you're reading your Bible. I wrote down, he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's my comforter. He's everlasting. He's loving. He's gracious. He's glorious. He's kind. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's my shield. He's my fortress. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And get this, brothers and sisters, you are his child. I'm his son. That is who we call on. He's a wonderful God. He's a mighty God. And so again, how well do you know him? In Psalm chapter 5, I'm going to go ahead and read it. This is David. He says, "O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning, I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly." You know, one of the biggest privileges we have as Christians is to be able to bring our requests to God. And it never ceases to amaze me that all of us, even right now, listening and on this Zoom call together, we can all be praying and talking to God at the same time, and He hears us. That's amazing to me. A lot of times, you know, I'll be watching a program on television, and you know, Sarah is trying to talk to me. I can't do two things at the same time. And you know, she would sometimes come and stand in front of the television to get my attention and go, "Hello." And I would mute the TV and say, "Yeah, what's up?" Because I can't hear two people at the same time. But God hears us all at the same time, even if we're all talking to Him at the same time. That is how incredible this God is. And so, are we taking advantage of our prayer lives? Are we really putting our requests before Him? That regardless of what you want, whatever it is that you want from your God, does He hear from you? Not just in the morning, but throughout the entire day. You know, this trying to find an apartment in New York has really been an interesting thing. Because, Michael would, send us places online, and I would send him some. And he would say, "Okay, I'm going over here, and I'm going to FaceTime you," and he'll get over there. And we'll walk to the apartment. I say, "Well, man, that's a great place. You know, let's make an application." And before you know it, it's gone. There was one incident I remembered. I think it was last week. There was a place he was looking at on our behalf. When he got there, there was somebody in front of us. And so they went in. The broker showed them around. And then Michael went in and showed us around. When Mike was coming out, there was somebody else waiting to look at the same place. And all Sarah and I could do, and I'm thankful that you guys have been praying about this also on our behalf, was just to pray. Say, "God, you're going to have to find us a place because we're eager to get to New York." And so when Mike called and said, "You know what, there's something coming up. The apartment has not even hit the market yet. I want to go take a look at it." I was like, "You know what, I think this is it." God heard our prayers. And now it has happened. And we're very thankful for that. And I want you to think about all the prayers of yours that God has answered. And obviously, there are so many more prayers that you and I pray every day, and that we're going to pray tomorrow, and the day after, and next month, and next year, and the rest of this year, that God hasn't answered yet. We need to continue to pray. You need to continue to beseech your God, because He wants to hear from you. He's our Father. He's your Father. He cares. And the Bible tells me that when we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You know, I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, while I was having, hormone therapy, as I was going through radiation, somebody suggested that I join a gym, that it would help me in my physical fitness and stuff like that, and with fatigue. And so I joined the gym. And when I joined, I think it was, I forget, something fitness. But anyway, they gave me a sticker when I joined, and they said, "Put this on your back window." And I said, "What is this for?" They said, "Well, once a month, we go around Corpus Christi, and if we see the sign on the window, we take down the license plate, and you get to win a Beats headphones." I was like, "Oh, really? Okay." And so I took the sticker and I put it on my car, and I started to use the gym, and I'll never forget it. There was a day I was on campus. I was having a Bible study with a disciple and this young man that wanted to know God. And I finished and I said, "You know what? I need to run some errands. I also need to go to the gym." I said, "You know what? Let me go to the gym. If I don't go to the gym, I'm not going to do this before running my errands." So I'm driving into the gym, and I pray as I was driving. I said, "Oh, yeah. No, man, it would be so good to win one of those Beats headphones. I wonder if they've given it out for this month. And I just said that prayer in passing, and I went to the gym, used the gym. And when I came out, I found a little note on my windscreen. It says, please report to the front desk. And I thought, uh-oh, am I in trouble? What did I do? And so I walked back in, and I went to the front desk, and I said, I found this note on my windshield. Is something wrong? The lady didn't even say anything to me. She turned around, opened the box, and just brought out the Beats headphone. She says, you're the winner for this month. I said, I can't believe this. I said, I just finished praying this prayer before I walked in here. Brothers and sisters, this is my Beats headphone. This is an answer to prayer. And so I texted my wife immediately and said, Sarah, you're not going to believe what just happened. Sarah told me that morning as I drove off to go to campus, and she knew I was going to be going to the gym afterwards, she just prayed that God encouraged Richard today. Father, encourage your son. I don't believe that I won this thing by accident. It was an answer to prayer. And I also texted my daughters who were on campus, and they were very excited for me. And our first daughter, Gina, true to form, she texted back, she said, can I have it? I said, no. And so that's why I still have my Beats headphones. But the point is, God answers our prayers. Now, sometimes when you and I pray, the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is no. Brothers and sisters, prayer is the most powerful weapon a believer has. God wants to hear from you. Not just in the morning, not just at night when you're going to bed, throughout the entire day. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The parable of the persistent widow is in the Bible for a reason. And the amazing thing is, God knows what you need, even before you ask him. But we got to make sure that we're asking. You know, our coming to Brooklyn, for me, this has been a 2-year prayer request. Because my wife and I, we share with the leaders when we're being interviewed, that 2 years ago, when I first got my first 0.0 PSA result, my wife and I, we got on our knees. And we said to God, we said, Father, we want to bring you more glory in our lives, this second half of our lives, than we've done the previous half. Said, Father, make it happen. We don't know where that place is. But we're begging you, we're asking you, that if you want us somewhere else, then Father, make it very clear. But I said, Father, we're not going to call anybody. We're not going to call anybody to start, quote unquote, looking for a job or looking for a ministry position. But if you want us somewhere else, Father, we pray that the phone will start ringing. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what started to happen. And now finally, we're here in Brooklyn, New York. And so again, I say all that to say, this is an answer to prayer. And yet, God took 2 years before he answered. My wife and I had to wait. We had to be patient with God. I was joking around with the elders and the hiring committee that, you know, this is probably the longest, you know, hiring interview that we've ever gone through in our church, because we've been at this stuff for about 7 months now. But we're thankful to be in Brooklyn. We're very, very grateful. On Saturday, I believe Daisy organized some sisters to pray, and my wife joined in, and I understand a bunch of you were on it praying, and you know, people were crying as they were praying. That's exciting, because God heard those prayers. Every time you pray, every time I pray, every time where two or three or more are gathered, the Bible says, in their midst, God is. Let's continue to pray for one another. God is hearing those prayers. My Bible says the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. We need to continue to pray for each other, because you and I cannot expect God to fix what we haven't handed over to him. It's not possible. We got to make sure that we're constantly making our requests before God, that we're constantly putting things before our God. And so, as we're talking tonight, I'm asking you, how is your walk with the Almighty God? This is where the battle is won and lost, brothers and sisters. There is no problem you cannot pray yourself out of. Yes, sometimes the answer is going to be no. Sometimes the answer is going to be yes. Sometimes the answer is going to be wait. And sometimes God will do you one better. But we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to ask God. Now, when God answers that prayer, then you can strike it off and put something else in there. We haven't arrived in Brooklyn yet, but we started praying for you guys. I got the membership list today. You know, the office, they were very kind. They set up stuff on the Zoom account and everything. Now I have the membership list. I can't wait to start going through every single name, although I may have not met you face to face yet. But I can pray for you. You can pray for me. We've started praying for all the Bible Talk leaders. We've started praying for their children. And many of them have been very kind. They've sent us the names of their kids that I've not even met yet. I'm looking forward to meeting them physically. But prayer, it's where it's at. Let's be praying for each other's kids. We're a family. This is the family of God. And God is hearing and will hear all those prayers. See, brothers and sisters, we've got to trust the wait. God is hard at work. You got to trust the wait. You know, when you and I are waiting on God, we got to continue to pray. We got to continue to trust him. Because sooner or later, it could be that God is going to answer that prayer tonight. It could be that tomorrow, that prayer you've been praying for years, it could be that it's tomorrow that God is going to answer it. So you got to keep on praying. You got to keep on asking him. You got to keep on bothering him. And that's one of the things I love about our God. He hears us, he cares about us, and in his own time, he will answer you. He will answer me. Perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. That prayer that you've been praying, that prayer that I've been praying, he's going to answer it at the right time. Not a minute sooner, not a minute later. He will answer it on the right day. He's an on-time God. Remember, he doesn't make any mistakes. And so again, I'm asking you, are you putting your request before God? Are you begging God? Would you continue to reach out and continue to put your request before him? Because he can't put you off forever. And he knows what's best for us, and in his own time, he will answer those prayers. In Psalm 18, go ahead and turn there. Psalm 18, in verse 15. Sam Powell shared this passage with us at staff meeting yesterday. Psalm 18, beginning in verse 15. It says, "Then, at your command, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen and the foundations of the earth were laid bare. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me." This was David when he was being, you know, his enemies were trying to kill him, especially Saul. This was his prayer. He says, "They attacked me," verse 18, "at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from God to follow evil. I have followed all his regulations. I have never abandoned his decrees. I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He has seen my innocence." Watch this, verse 25. "To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. You light a lamp for me. The Lord, my God, lights up my darkness. In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale a wall. God's ways is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength, and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. I don't know about you. These passages are extremely encouraging. You see, it says here that when David was being sought by Saul, Saul was trying to kill him. He found his strength in God. He went to God. Now, you and I today, praise God, we have this thing, and we can hold it in our hands called the Bible. And these days, you can even get it on Zoom and on your smartphone and all these different devices. It's amazing, you know? But do you realize that people had to die for the Bible to be translated into English? And now we have the Word of God. We can read it, we can study it out on our own. And brothers and sisters, we're so privileged to be living in it during this time because we have our own Bible, we can get into it. Because the more you get into the Bible, the more God talks to you. You know, we talk to him in prayer, and then when we open up his Word, he talks to us. He shows us wonderful stuff. He shows us new things. And so again, I'm asking, how is your Bible study? Where do you go to when you're in distress? We ought to be going into our Bibles. We ought to be drawing closer to Yahweh. Because the more you get into your Bible, the more God is going to help you. The more God is going to reveal things to you. And the amazing thing is we can do this all day long. We can get up early. We can go to bed late. During the weekends, when we have time, we can spend a lot more time in the scriptures. But we need to be investing a lot more time in our walk with God. Brothers and sisters, our relationship with God is the most important thing. And that's the only thing we get to take from this life into the next one. And all this is preparing for what we're about to behold on the other side. Because, like I've said so many times, and I'll say it again, you guys are going to get tired of me saying this. Heaven is going to blow your mind. Again, scripture says, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And yet, over here now, we get a chance to get to know this God, little by little. And then one day, we'll get to behold his majesty. It is going to be the most awesome day of your life and of mine when we see God face to face. It is going to be something else. Being a Christian is hard. It's not easy. Johnny Cash once said many years ago, he said, you know, being a Christian is hard. It's not for sissies. It is very difficult. You and I living this life and living a righteous life in this crooked world and in this perverse generation. It's very challenging. But you see, the more we get into the scriptures, the more we get to know this God, and then the more God answers our prayers, and we realize, you know what? God is working in my life. And then we're able to share with our neighbors and with our friends and people who work and say, you know what? Hey, let's look into this Bible. I've been working with this God for so many years. Let me tell you what he has done in my life. Let me tell you how I have changed. Let me tell you what he has done in my marriage and in my kids and in my parenting. And when people realize that, you know what? God walked in this person's life. Maybe he'll walk in mine. Brothers and sisters, that's what sharing your faith is. That's what it means to me. To be able to tell all the people I see and know and care about, say, you know what? Let me tell you what God has done in my life. But you see, the more you get into the scriptures, the more you're going to be able to see those things. Because you and I cannot share what we don't know. And so again, I'm asking you tonight, as I wrap this thing up, how is your Bible study? How is it going? Are you digging deeper into the Word? I want you to invest in a great Bible. Okay, now these days, again, you can have it on a smartphone, but there's just something about, for me, you know, holding it physically. You know, my Bibles are all marked up and everything, but I don't even know how many Bibles I own. I have at least 12 of them. I just keep buying them. But see, I'm investing in my eternity. Many, many years ago, over 30 years ago, we had come from Africa for a conference. I believe it was in Boston. And I had to get up from my class and I was going to the bathroom. And I stopped at the book table. You know how libraries, you go to those conferences, there's books everywhere. And I found this exhaustive NIV concordance. I mean, this big. And there was only one. And as a matter of fact, the brother manning the table was not even there because he was in the class. So I looked in my pocket. There was no, I had no cash on me. So you know what I did? I took the concordance. I hid it under the table. You know, there was a cloth on, over the table. So I hid it underneath. I ran to my hotel room to grab the cash. By the time I came out, you know, everybody had come out. And so I bent over. I picked it up from where I hid it. And I told the brother, I said, you know what? Here's the money. You know, I just bought this. And he laughed. I still have that concordance. It's this big. Because there's just something about, you know, turning to the page for me. You know, these days you can just click and that's fine. If that works for you, amen. But it's important that we invest in our Bible study. You know, Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, says a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. That statement is so true. I mean, I've seen disciples where, you know, they tell you what's going on in their lives, and you're like, how come you have not fallen apart? But it's because they have a strong walk with God. They're men and women that are daily in their Bibles. And their strength through the Holy Spirit, as you and I read God's word, that's where it comes from. And they're able to withstand a lot of stuff. And so again, I want to encourage us to get into our Bibles. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're talking about our own divine GPS. You see, study your Bible because Satan studies you. The Bible describes Satan as our enemy. He comes after us every single day as Christians. Satan knows my weaknesses. Satan knows yours. And so the more we get into the Bible, the more we're going to be able to counteract him. And the forces that, and the force of darkness that are coming against us. And his flaming arrows that he's firing at us every single day. And that's why it's very, very important that we get into our Bibles. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to really get in there and allow the Holy Spirit to work. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and this is where I'm going to end. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That's the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. The Bible says in the New Testament that God gave us his Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It is that Spirit. It is that Holy Spirit. It is that what I call the divine GPS that's going to lead us back to the throne of God one day. I've never been to heaven. You've never been to heaven. We don't even know how to get there. But Jesus says, you know, through me, you're going to get there. And he left us with his Spirit. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sorry, I apologize. But he says, we have that divine GPS inside of us. We need to listen to that voice. And God will, that Spirit of God is what's going to lead us back to the throne of God one day. You see, and my final slide is this. It says, God says, I heard your prayer. Now trust my timing. God has heard you. God has heard me. God continues to hear us every single day. Now we got to trust his timing. Because at the right time, he will bring things about in our lives. Brothers and sisters, that's what I wanted to share with us tonight. I hope this has been encouraging. Again, I apologize for the snafu there at the end. I don't know what happened to the internet here. I just went off. All of a sudden, my screen went blank. And but I hope this message has helped. That's what I wanted to share with us tonight. I'm going to turn it back to Michael so that he'll close us out with the announcements or whatever it is else we need to do. But keep praying for us, God willing. We'll be in New York City, not this weekend, the following weekend. God bless you all.